Happy New Year, programs. This is Changelog, the weekly podcast where we talk tech, drinks, and help you fill your knowledge holes. I'm Brian.
I'm Jim.
And I'm Craig.
Welcome. So,
I'm really proud of that intro with the fill your knowledge holes.
Yeah, that was you right there. I had fill your ear holes, and Jim was like, what about knowledge holes? And I was like, it sounds nicer.
Sure, it does.
Not at all sexual. I'm just so New Year's is over.
Yeah. Did you guys have a good New Year's?
I had a good New Year's. We
right on.
Just, you know, stayed in, had some friends over. It was a good time.
Right on.
What'd you guys do?
Yeah, what about you, Jim?
I fell asleep by like 10:30.
My kids made it up later than you did. That's crazy when a four-year-old makes it later than you did, Jim.
My mom was visiting.
So you were hiding, is what you're saying.
I was probably drunk and passed out.
Fair enough.
Under the stairs.
Right. He went down in the basement. What about you? Did you guys do anything, Craig?
My wife worked and I went over to my friends always throw a good New Year's Eve party, so it's one I don't like to miss, and unfortunately Melissa had to work, so it took the kids for a little while, rang in the New York New Year, and came home, so.
Nice.
It's always a good time, though, so it's one that's never to be missed, so.
Excellent. Well, let's talk about our beverages before we get into the technology we have to discuss today. I'm drinking a Christmas present. That I actually got from Jim. It's a McEwen's Scotch Ale, which I've never had, but I have to say that it's delicious. It's so good that I had to bring in a second bottle because in our little pre-chat, this one's almost gone.
So it's good.
Yeah.
You should keep drinking it.
Oh, I will.
As the conversation continues tonight.
I will.
And you guys will get to see just how good this beer is because Brian should start slurring.
No.
No, he's going to start talking normal.
That's what it is. It's going to mellow out.
Straighten him out.
I'm fighting a little bit of a cold. I'm a little raspy, so hopefully this will clear me up.
Okay.
What do you got going on there, Jim?
I'm drinking a little Macallan 15, which was also a Christmas gift. In a new lead crystal low ball that I got, which was also another Christmas gift. Actually, I really like this glass. I put a link to it in the additional show notes.
Yeah,
if you guys are interested.
It's really nice. I never, I don't know that I've ever actually drank out of a leaded like low ball glass.
Yeah.
But,
it's got a nice heft to it.
Yeah, that's what it is. You pick it up and you're just like, I'm holding.
I feel like
something.
I'm more of a man drinking out of this. I really do. I mean, as if I didn't feel like a man enough drinking scotch.
Right.
And decent scotch, too. Now I feel like not a lumberjack, but, you know, a something. Real man.
Yeah, you know, you're classy. You got some James Bond going on there. Maybe you're the prime minister. I don't know. It's fancy.
So yeah, okay. How about you, Craig? What are you drinking?
Well, I was drinking a rum and Coke, a good old Captain and Coke, while we were waiting for you, but I finished that off while we were waiting for your arrival, so now I've had to switch it to a Sam Adams Rebel IPA, so.
Yeah, my bad, guys.
It was fine with me. I got through one drink, and I'm on to the second.
It's good. It's good to start, you know, fresh.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the tech news rundown. Brian, what are you going to talk to us about?
This week, I'm going to talk about my outrage at the Lizard Squad for taking down the PlayStation Network and Xbox Live on Christmas. Craig and I are all set to hop on and school some noobs on GTA 5 and nothing. We just texting back and forth. Is it up yet? Nope, not up yet. Up yet? Nope, not up yet. Back in like 3 days. 3 days we're back and forth. It's ridiculous. And it makes me angry, first off.
Because that's how you really feel.
Okay.
Unload.
So they were taken down by a denial of service attack.
Right.
What do you guys know about denial of service attacks?
Well, they're particularly hard to stop.
Okay, but do you know what it actually is?
Sure.
Okay. I'm going to break it down anyway. In a high level, you got your cracker, whatever, right? I'm going to assume they're crackers. I don't know. They're sending out and they get these bot computers, right? The bot computers then are pushing messages to another layer of computers. And they're telling that other layer of computer, oh, hey, I'm PlayStation Network. Why don't you give me this information? And then they respond to PlayStation Network with either just random information, bits of packets that can't be put together so that the network goes crazy trying to put this stuff together, all sorts of different random things. But it's coming from all different kinds of places. And those computers have nothing to do with the person who's actually like manufacturing the attack. They're just drones because, you know, they clicked on a pop-up and accidentally installed something, or that window came up and it was like, hey, click here to close this, and you click it and it throws something in the background. So in the long run, these guys are taking down Sony and Microsoft with something that they should have been already secured against, because it's, you know, if someone's monitoring the traffic, they should have seen this.
Which, did you hear that they warned both Sony and Microsoft weeks ahead of time?
I heard that.
And neither of them did anything about it. So, you know, I'm not going to say they deserved it, you know, but, you know.
What was their motivation?
Okay.
This is where it gets good.
Yeah. This is where it gets good. Because now, a week later, they've come out and they're now offering this as a service that you as a company can pay them money to do a denial of service attack on your site so you can see if you're prepared to handle such attacks if you're secured against it. So realistically, these guys more likely than not messed up my fun on Christmas.
As an advertisement.
As an advertisement for their new service, which, you know, could be used by just anybody that wants to take down a competitor's website. You could just go on there and say, oh, yeah, attack this site for me. It's my site, sure. I own it. You want to check?
I like it.
Well, think about it, though. The best time, Christmas, you've got all the people who already have PlayStations and Xboxes that want to play their new stuff.
Yep.
And you've got all the newbies that have to go on to download all their system updates before they can play.
Right.
They're what a better advertisement for it. You know, it's not that I'm saying I condone it in any way, but I do laugh because you've got Sony, who I think is more vulnerable because they use third-party servers.
Yep.
Whereas Microsoft, you pay a little bit better fee, which I don't know with the PlayStation Plus if they've gone to more dedicated servers like Microsoft, but in the past it was all third-party. They kept the cost low. And, you know, who knows who's really maintaining these things and how many backdoors are in place on these, so.
I don't know, but it just makes me mad.
It made me mad, too. You can take Xbox down all day and leave my PlayStation Network alone.
That's what I'm saying. And I understand that, you know, it's a good advertisement, and sure, they showed that there are some vulnerabilities in these systems, but who are they hurting?
So what were they doing? I mean, forgive me, maybe we skipped over this. They warned Microsoft and Sony about this vulnerability.
Yeah. Well, they warned them that they were going to do it.
Yeah.
They didn't.
So realistically,
say, do this, and or we will do it.
No, they just said, hey.
Yeah, they didn't tell them how to fix it. It was just we're going to do it, and who knows? Maybe Microsoft and Sony did put the proper precautions in and completely missed out on it. But yeah, it's.
I don't know. It was funny too, because one of the articles that I read with one of the Lizard Squad guys, he was saying, you know, it just goes to show you that they need to get better people working for him. Because he said, if I worked there, I could have seen this happening and stopped it, you know, because it's easy to see if you're looking for it. Now, that could just be hubris. I mean, he might have, you know, programming hubris, but.
Well, gee, come on. Just like McAfee knows how to stop certain viruses.
That they made.
Exactly. I'm sure they all make these things and send them out like, hey, we stopped the big bug and nobody else could. Yeah, because you had some basement programmer write the damn thing.
Yeah,
it's all dirty pool at the end of the day.
So, I mean, that's basically what I wanted to talk about. It just, makes me angry. And, you know, it's in the end, they're just advertisement. It's an advertisement. I mean, like you said,
who are you really hurting though at the end?
Yeah, I mean,
you're advertising, but you've pissed off half the world because you've taken down the video game systems on the holidays.
I would understand more if it was politically motivated or if it was, you know, to get back at some Sony because they used to work there or, you know. But just like, we're going to do this and now, hey, why don't you buy our service?
You know what? I've got to be honest with you. The number of people that were affected
is a
pretty good advertisement.
Oh, I know. I know it is.
But how are you going to buy that in when some other company executive is like, you know what? You screwed my kid's Christmas up. And now I look like a jackass for buying them a PlayStation and an Xbox, and I couldn't get on either. So at the end of the day, you know, it's a good advertisement in some ways. But, you know, for instance, you know, they have plenty of people that do this as a daily job. My Windows XP instructor back in the day, actually, banks paid him to hack their systems and show them where the holes are.
Yeah.
You know, are companies still doing stuff like that? I don't know. I would hope to think so, but... you know, it's hard to tell. You know, do you need some hacker group that is going to go in and show you to do this, or do you pay the right people to do it? Which, you know, 10 years later, after, you know, I did my good old Microsoft certification back in the day, look at how much more we skimped and scraped on, you know, tech budgets at companies too. So,
right.
Who knows, if you had the right people still in place and this was 10 years ago, maybe this would have never happened.
What, does anybody know what platform the Xbox network that went down is running on? Is it Azure?
It's Azure.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Which is the same as Office 365 and Active Directory in the cloud. And
well, apparently it's only Xbox 362 this year, but, you know, or last year.
This is, wow. This is why I hate SharePoint. Yeah. Right, Brian?
SharePoint.
That's right.
Oh, SharePoint can be a whole other podcast all on its own.
Oh, I've talked about it. I hate it so much. So much. And I'm forced to use it at work. And I hate it. All right. I think I'm done with this. You guys got anything else to talk about on it?
Nope.
No? All right. Jim, what you got going on?
Man, I want to talk about CES. So this year's CES is, let's see, January 6th through 9th?
Yes.
In Las Vegas?
Yes.
What do you guys want to see?
Watches. No.
I bet you there's a ton.
Yeah. I say that kind of tongue-in-cheek because, I mean, we know that there's lots of watches coming. I'm excited about the Apple Watch because I got an iPhone and I want to play around with it and get into this fun that Craig's been having all this time with his watch.
Recognize.
Right there. You know, I'm interested to see what the new technology is in TVs. I mean,
I bet you they're crazy thin.
Yeah, well, there's that new, what do they call it? It's not, it had a funky name. Do you know what it is, Jim? There's a new,
I don't know what you're talking about.
Quantum TVs, which are supposed to be like a huge like leap over the LED technology.
Well, I am excited about OLED.
Mm-hmm.
Matched with the Ultra HD. Beyond that, I got nothing.
Yeah, it's you know, it's like I'm excited to see what they're going to do with the TVs, but the reality is I'm not going to buy a new TV.
Oh, here's I'm buying a new TV.
But all the TVs,
if you look behind me,
yeah,
I don't know if you can see in the room. There's a wreath above my fireplace.
There is,
and when that wreath comes down, there is a 65-inch TV going up there.
You guys have had like a 32-inch forever, right?
Yeah, we've had a 32-inch forever. We finally broke down and put a TV for our bedroom.
Did you have cave paintings drawn around that 32-inch as well?
Did.
I mean, we did. Actually, I mean,
the TV actually, it just had a pterodactyl inside that read the news.
It's a pteranodon, just so you know. It's not a pterodactyl.
Dude, F that. When I was a kid, they were pterodactyls. They're still pterodactyls.
So, yeah, we're finally getting a big TV to mount over the fireplace.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Now, do you know which
big enough to be able to watch from the kitchen.
Yeah, do you know which TV you're getting?
Kind of. So there's a 65-inch Vizio UHD.
Okay, I'm already liking where you're going with the Vizio.
Yeah, it's pretty darn thin. I want to say with the mount, it's 4 inches off the wall.
Wow.
Now, are you gonna put up the kind of mount where it just latches in, or is it the kind where you can pull the TV out?
No, it's going to be flush mounted on the wall. There might be a little bit of angle up, angle down.
Okay.
But that's it.
Because I have one of those in the living room, and it's a real pain if you ever have to try and change the connectors on the back. But the one in my room, it's on like the swing arm. So if I need to do something, I just pull it out, do my thing, snap it right back.
I have not bought the mount.
I'm just saying.
I have not bought the TV. I am open to options.
It is going to set it a little farther off the wall. But
yeah, it's kind of my understanding that with a swing arm, it does pull it off the wall a bit.
About 2 inches.
And actually, that's kind of my wife's thing. She's really big in not having it far off of the wall. So, I don't know. We'll see. Plus, you know me. It's basically going to have an HDMI cable plugged into it.
That's true.
And that's about it.
Yeah, that is true. You're not swapping stuff in and out all the time. And
yeah, no. If I'm gonna
kids pull the crap off the mantle and
yeah, no. Anyhow, so it's to answer your question, a Vizio. I haven't decided between the what is it, the M series, 65 inch, which is just a standard 1080p smart TV, or the UHD smart. We have actually an Ethernet run running to where the TV is.
Okay.
Straight from my rack in the basement. So it's not like it has to deal with Wi-Fi or anything. And we're only going to end up hooking like a Roku 3 up to it anyway.
You have a 65, don't you, Craig?
Yeah. No, mine's only a 60. But I'm also running a plasma because
yeah,
I like the higher refresh rates because, you know, good old LED and everything, even though they advertise 240 hertz. It's really 120 hertz with different type of smooth motion technology and all that fun stuff. So I get very picky with my TVs.
I love plasmas. Don't get me wrong. The problem is I want a very, very thin bezel.
Oh, yeah. That's what you're not going to get. You're going to get a thicker bezel, produces more heat. And, you know, I've got a room with 12 windows, and I'm not going to lie. Sometimes trying to watch TV, it's a little bit of a pain in the rear. But, you know, I'll trade it off for, you know, the refresh rate and, you know, it's I'm just waiting because 4K, you know, I love seeing the stuff that comes out of CES every year and stuff like that, but it just seems like it's like 5 years in the future. You know, it's like, give me what's coming out soon.
Yeah.
You know, I get people asking me all the time, should I buy a 4K TV? Well, Vizio's got their anywhere from 55 to 65 inch 4Ks that are, what, 1500 to 2500 or 2200?
Hey, right. They have a new one that's coming out that's going to be $1099.
Yeah, but who's broadcasting in 4K?
And that's what I was getting at, is it's very hard to find anything with it. You know, it's.
I mean, anything I record on my camera will be 4K, but.
So
when you actually use it. You can
get some Netflix that's in 4K, but you have to pay a little bit more to get it.
Higher bandwidth, more download. You know, you've got internet cap speeds with certain providers. That's going to get tougher.
Yeah, are you able to use that 4K through a Roku, or do you have to be on the website to get that?
You cannot use it through any of the Rokus that are currently available. They all cap out at 1080.
Yeah.
Which the only thing I've seen that actually does it is custom, you know, Windows Media Center builds.
Right.
Which, and maybe the PlayStations, who knows?
So here's the deal. Most of the TVs that are 4K, they are smart on some level. And that means they're going to have their own version of Netflix or Amazon Instant running on the device itself. So we won't actually be running it through like a Roku in that instance. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We'll be running it right on the TV, running the app.
Sure.
Speaking of TVs and apps, did you hear the announcement about Samsung and Tizen?
No, tell me about it.
Yeah. So Samsung has announced that they're going to be running Tizen on all their TVs.
Which is their own homegrown OS.
Right. Anyways.
Which I don't know if you've seen it, but it looks like garbage.
Yeah, I can kind of show you a little bit of it right here. It's nothing special. It's black and white. little icons and why they brag about it. I have no idea why.
You know, it's funny. People complain all the time about the Apple TV and how dated it is and how the interface is garbage. And then all you got to do, if that's how you feel, is now, mind you, I personally have an Apple TV and I also have a Roku 3. Love both. If you feel that Apple TV or the Roku 3 interface is dated, go to your local Best Buy. Look at any smart TV and just go through the menu. Those are garbage.
They're the worst.
Really?
The only one that I like is Sony because they mimic the PlayStation.
Yeah, it looks like the PlayStation menus.
But I honestly, the only Sony product I will ever own is a PlayStation. Everything else I've ever had has been garbage and fallen apart. A friend of mine has a Sony TV that has, lines of pixels that are just gone, but I love their interface, just cannot stand their hardware.
I'm going to predict now, and you can do a mark, January 3, 2015, within 3 years, Sony is not in the electronics business anymore within 3 years.
What do you think they're going to do instead?
So, now, what I think they will continue in the motion picture, putting movies out, and movies, DVDs, that kind of stuff. And I believe they will continue with the PlayStation Network, that. But as far as TVs and electronics go, I bet you they sell them off.
For what purpose?
Because it's not a big moneymaker for them in the first place. Yeah. When you look at it.
Craig's onto it right now. It does not make a lot of money for them.
Okay.
When you look at somebody like, we're talking about TVs, look at Vizio. Vizio is kind of, for the last couple of years, undercutting everybody just to claw their way into this market and gain market share.
They're good TVs too.
Which they've done successfully.
Yeah.
I mean, they had they've done a good job. And let's face it, they're – profit margin is razor thin just to get into the market. And so anyhow, I think they're going to get rid of their TV business or sell it off.
Okay.
Maybe LG, maybe Samsung, who knows, but they'll sell it.
All right.
And the rest of their components, I mean, I don't even know what do they make? They make audio
cameras.
Equipment.
Yeah, they're pretty big in cameras, in DSLR, Micro Four Thirds, bigger, like prosumer sort of.
Well, I kind of see that in the everything electronics for them except for cameras, they get rid of.
No.
I just cannot – and I'll tell you why. With Sony getting hacked – this was just like the cusp, and I really feel like they're kind of going through a self-evaluation thing, whether they're saying it publicly or not, as to why are they in this business.
Which the good thing is I when in a minute after we're done with this, I want to piggyback on it with the I want to discuss the interview and some of the things I think Sony's secretly dabbling with to get out of the electronics market. Kind of go along with that, kind of the conspiracy theorist in my mind. But I think Jim's on to it with it, where they want to get out of it. I mean, they still have plenty of money in the motion picture business.
Yeah.
The electronics business, I mean, look at everything that goes around. Even PlayStation, they don't make a lot of money on it. They make more money off of all the third-party apps and games that are out there.
Right.
That's kind of always been the case, though. You buy a console and they lose money. You buy the games, they make it back.
Especially now with they have in-game purchases and stuff like that.
Oh, and streaming.
Yeah.
Downloadable content. They don't have to burn a disc anymore or press a disc, whatever.
Which, I'm sure we'll talk about it, but it kind of surprised me when they released the interview online for sale that it didn't go on the PlayStation.
Yeah,
it is kind of odd.
In the PlayStation store, you think they would have put it in there.
Yeah, because it was Google. You can buy it on Amazon. You can buy it on iTunes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so Craig, I'm dying to hear this conspiracy theory.
All right, so the big thing that I have going on with this is, I've been harping on the fact that I think Sony was experimenting with digital download only, and what a better way to come up with some crazy scheme that North Korea hacked them just to shut down a stupid movie that I laughed at, but was nothing where, I mean, honestly, if I was North Korea looking at this, I'm like, you guys are idiots. And if this is what you think, so be it. But with all that said, if Sony goes and tries to just release a movie without the backing of the movie theaters and everything, they lose that confidence, or not even that confidence, that backing from the theater chains and everything like that.
Yeah.
Whereas if they come up with some scheme to have to release it, which what, they made $18.4 million within the first week?
And they didn't have to, they didn't have to make any prints, they didn't have to send out any discs or any hard drives with the movies on them.
Correct. So the amount of money you save on the back end of it. Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of these movies gross what? I mean, there's no way The Interview was going to beat out, you know,
right,
any of the top, you know, movies right now to make $30, $40 million opening weekend or anything like that. So,
and, you know, realistically, people are consuming media more and more at home and online.
Yep.
That the theaters, in my opinion, are almost like a dying breed.
Yep.
You know, speaking of dying breed, when you look at the ticket sales for 2014,
yeah,
they were saying that I read an article just last night saying that it was the lowest in 20 years.
I don't. So it doesn't surprise me.
And I got to tell you, I wonder if the opening weekend, you know, 30 million, 50 million, that kind of thing is gone.
Yeah,
you know. What did Guardians of the Galaxy make opening weekend?
Who knows?
I'm sure it was, you know, in the hundreds, probably of millions. Just be, I mean, I could be wrong.
So, but look, let's take a small poll.
Yeah.
The Guardians of the Galaxy, if whoever released it, if it came out to the movie theater, only movie theater, are you going to go see it?
Yeah.
Opening weekend.
I don't know if I'd go opening weekend.
Yeah, not opening, but.
Okay, but you're going to go see it.
Yeah, for sure. See, because here's the thing for me, right? There are some movies that are theater movies.
Yep.
And you can watch it at home. But, like, especially, all right, I went and saw Interstellar, right? I went and saw it in the IMAX. And that movie is amazing. Watching it at home would not even be close to the same experience. And funny enough, you know, they just sent out all of the screeners to the people that vote on the Academy Awards. And they didn't send out copies of Interstellar. They actually sent the people vouchers to go see it in a theater because they said, look, it's a theater experience. You need to go see it in a theater. And the thing is, there's maybe two of those movies a year, maybe three.
Okay.
Well, that's just when you pump them out at the rate that they have it. Movies don't have the same quality as they used to. And I know I sound like an old person when I say that, but you know, you look at your Jurassic Parks. It's just there's too much garbage being pumped out. Everybody can make a movie. There's unlimited funds, it seems, to pump these movies out, which leads me to Sony dabbling in the market of trying to just pump these movies out to see, can we make $20 million off something that we don't have to invest in theater chain productions or, you know, advertising and all that but then again, are they ever going to get the advertising ever again
that they got they did off this? The Interview? Yeah, because that was free. Just
correct. Okay, that's a one time only.
Here's where I was going with that. So Guardians of the Galaxy, you probably weren't going to see it opening weekend, but you were going to see it at some point.
Oh, I saw it in the theater.
Right. Okay. So assuming that the model is not just theater release only. Then in the future, it's, hey, we're going to put it in the theater for the people that like to go to the theater.
Yeah.
We're going to put it on Amazon. We're going to put it on iTunes. You guys can stream it. You can rent it right away. And then within, say, 30 days, you can buy it. So if Guardians of the Galaxy was available for rent the day it was released in the theater, would you rent it?
Yes.
Right away?
Of course.
Of course you would. Craig?
Yep.
So, Jim, yes. So, three guaranteed sales of $4 a piece to watch it in HD, that's $12 that they would not have gotten.
See, and that's great for people like me. I can't make it to the theater. There's movies I would love to see there.
Yeah.
Having a wife and three kids and my wife working nights.
Exactly.
I can't get out to see that, nor does she want to sit through the quality movies that I love.
Exactly. So. And you live too far away for us to go together. So
exactly.
All right. Here's something I'm interested in. I was just thinking about this. You have three viable new VR technologies coming out. They give you basically a full field of view, right? Coverage. Do you think that somebody is going to make a virtual theater where you can throw in a movie and basically you throw on the VR goggles and you're in a theater? Would that accurately represent the theater experience? If to your vision, you see a screen at a distance, it's huge, you have perfect sound, surround sound in your ears. You don't have kids telling you they have to pee.
I could see that having its place, yes.
I'm just wondering if
that's going to take a lot, though. I mean, imagine to try – look at having a 3D set, and if you've got the good 3D set, if you've got five people in your house and you got a couple friends over, imagine just how much it costs in having 3D glasses versus having seven Oculus Rifts laying around.
But, yeah, I'm just talking about for the people that get the Oculus Rift, right?
Okay.
Or the Sony VR that's coming out. I'm just not from a, is this going to be the next big thing, but do you think that you could accurately recreate a theater experience in that type of an environment?
I do.
I think it could be done, and I think it could probably be done well. I question whether or not it would be anything more than a niche product.
I don't know.
We're looking at it this way. TVs with the whole 3D TV feature.
Yeah.
It seems that was kind of, what was it, like two, three CESs ago, that was huge.
Right.
Everybody was doing it. Now Vizio has said, we're not making any more 3D TVs. And a couple of other manufacturers have said, well, all right. So it's kind of a fad that seems to be going away. I kind of see that, yes, that would be appealing for the person that doesn't get to go to the theater a lot, would love to see this movie. Yeah, there's a niche place for it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see it being mass appeal, though.
I don't know, man. I'm thinking the Ready Player One world where everyone is living and working in virtual reality. That's where I want to be. And then I'll go to the theater.
Only if Will Wheaton narrates.
Totally. He can narrate my movie. I'll be laying in my bed. Will Wheaton talking my ear hole.
You and Will Wheaton in the bed.
Hey, no, he's not in the bed. He's in the ear hole.
He has a beard.
He does have a beard. It's a grand beard. Actually, it's not great.
Let me ask you this, though. So really quick, the whole thing that goes along with my little conspiracy theorist type thing about with Sony doing the things that they did too, is Sony bashed Microsoft for so long about digital content on demand.
Uh-huh.
It is not the way of the future. It's not the way to go. Blu-ray is the way to go. disc. They pumped so much money into it, and to get these Blu-ray discs going, they almost look bad, you know, and to save face, this whole thing seems just kind of weird, like a testing the water situation where they're getting bad press, which is still good press, still making them money. Mm-hmm. They can dabble in the water however they see fit.
And what happens next time?
That's what I'm saying is, how do you, they need some smart people in place if they're really going to figure out how to take care of this in the future. Because, like I said, you're not going to hit gold twice by getting $20 million out of something where, oops, we got hacked again and North Korea hates us again. Exactly. They're going to have, the interview part two. Who are they interviewing next? I mean, they're going to bring Stalin back? I mean, what's going to happen? Go to the good old Mother Russia? But what I'm saying is it seems too weird and too much of a coincidence that they got hacked the way they did. The interview, it just seemed like such a big publicity stunt that it was ridiculous. It went all the way back. It made me think of the old Blair Witch days.
Yeah,
The whole fake story, put it all together. I mean, Jim's already done. He's out, I guess, right now.
He needed more scotch. But yeah, no, I have Facebook messages from the day that whole thing broke where they're like, oh, we're not going to release it because of this. And Jenny, we had a chat with Jenny and me and our friends, Jenny and Jamie, and they were all mad about it. And I was like, mark my words, they're going to release it online right when it was supposed to come out. This whole thing is a publicity stunt. And sure enough, the day before Christmas, they announce it, and I sent them all a message. I'm like, I told you.
Yeah.
Called it right away.
I completely agree. It just seems like a big publicity stunt, and they planned this. They might not have planned it from the beginning, but who knows? Maybe they said, hey, this movie's not going to generate the buzz we want it to. Let's try something new.
And you know North Korea would go along with it because they're just like, yeah, yeah, we're bad.
Would the FBI go along with it?
Yeah, well, if they didn't tell the FBI.
Yeah, but the FBI came out and said it was North Korea. We're going to point a finger over there.
Although, you know, I know the CIA is listening, and we don't need to have the FBI.
It's the NSA.
The NSA. I'm sorry.
Hello, NSA.
Welcome to the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know what? We need to write in an intro for the NSA just in case they happen to want to join the conversation. Know,
they could just pop in at Skype. I mean, they probably run Skype anyway. They could just, like, intercept and join in. I'm recording. It's fine.
Don't tell them about my drone.
Too late.
Yeah, you just said it. You said it with your mouth hole. All right, but let's say that the U.S. has decided at the higher upper echelon areas that they want to pick a fight and maybe have an excuse to do something with North Korea. I can see the FBI just saying, yeah, sure, they did it.
So we're going to raid North Korea because Kim Jong-un likes Katy Perry while he drives around in a tank.
No.
Spoiler alert.
Right? First off, everyone loves to listen to Katy Perry while rolling around in a tank. Hey, that's not a problem.
When I finally can order my Russian T-74 tank and have it delivered to my door, I'm going to be riding around to
This is what I'm saying.
And you'll be there for it, both of you.
You got a teenage dream. Live. That's what I'm saying.
Wow.
But it's no skin off their nose to just be like, yep, North Korea did it. And then later on down the line, something else happens that North Korea actually does do. And we'll be like, oh, and there was, you know, those guys from that other thing before, too. Let's get them. Jim doesn't agree.
Dude.
You're sighing over there.
No, my scotch was dry. I needed more. Just kind of catching up to the conversation.
Yeah, my point is that I could totally see the FBI just looking into it and then being like, you know what? Yeah, sure, we'll go along with this. North Korea. Those guys over there, we don't like them anyway.
I disagree.
Okay, tell me why.
Look, because Sony's not based in America. It's not like it's Microsoft.
Right.
Okay, Microsoft, Redmond, U.S. company. Sony Pictures is like Japan.
Right, but we already know.
I can't see that the FBI is like, you know what? You're right. For the betterment of Japan, we will do that. We'll go along with this.
I don't know. They still have a lot of white guilt about nuking Japan.
Gosh. You know, they dared us. I'm just saying.
That's true.
They dared That's us. That's true.
They had it coming. But
boom.
My point is that we know we're not going to do anything to Japan, right? The U.S. is not looking to do anything with Japan.
God, I hope not.
Right. We need our technology. But
I drive a Toyota.
Hey, I love my WRX built in Japan. Sent over go. Here.
Thank you. I have a Japanese. Forester.
They probably made your quadcopter in Japan or your octocopter, whatever. Japan.
No, that is from China.
Oh, it's China. All right. Yeah. But, you know, they could either say, okay, we're going to call out Sony, or they could say, you know what? We already don't like Kim Jong-un. Let's just let it fly.
He smells, and right? I think he's got gout. Because we never see him. Whenever we do, he's limping.
Well, I didn't think he had a butthole, and he didn't poop.
That's right. He does. Homeboy doesn't piss or poo.
Have you seen the interview, Jim? Let me ask you that.
No.
You need to. Okay. It's
it
on
is
my,
actually a pretty funny
it's
movie.
It's on my Plex server.
All right, I'll check I bought it. It's on your Plex.
Yeah. Brian paid good money for
it. I did. I bought it right out because I was like, you know what? F North Korea, and I like movies. So what are you going to do?
Who's good money?
You know. It's a pimp that lives down the street.
North Korea is funding Brian's movie collection as well. So
mm-hmm. Whatever.
So
no, it, like I said, it's my whole fun conspiracy theory that everything just seems too weird, too coincidental with this and – who knows? It just something okay. is just very much out there. And if we're going to go to over war because of the movie The Interview, it wasn't that good of a movie to go to war for. Was it funny? Yeah, not good enough for war.
Nope. No, no wars.
Although, if we would like to drop some of those, like, you know, little fake-looking pieces of gum thing, you know, in there and, you know, have people hide them in their rectums and stuff like that. I mean, that is definitely, you know.
Rectum.
But anyways, yes. Okay, enough of the fun with that. Back to the real part of all this.
Well, that's an interesting theory. Yeah.
You don't want to get me started on conspiracy theories, Jim. You might not know this about me, but I will just talk trash about conspiracy all day. Even if I don't even think it's true what I'm saying, I'll just say stuff to pick a fight.
Really? Because I do think it's a conspiracy going on that you're not the real Brian Watkins.
What?
That's where the beard comes in.
That's what it is. I'm hiding the fact that I have weird, like, alien penises scars on my face. I don't know.
Lesions.
Yeah.
Which I am bringing up your GTA profile picture.
Oh, yeah, you got to show Jim.
Yeah, because Brian does not believe me when I say something about it.
He does not look black.
Brian's guy.
I'm going to put a poll on Facebook.
Okay. Jim, is Brian's guy Caucasian?
He looks like a brother. I'm just saying.
Dude, he looks just like me. Look at him. Look at me. Yeah,
if Brian, you are way too pale white to be this guy.
Okay, let me tell you what. Let me tell you a thing. First off, when I created that character, both of his parents, white.
Second off, does not know that you actually have to pick
the your mailman. Parents.
You
was
have
a
to
brother.
Pick your parents.
Yeah, you pick your parents.
Second off,
you can actually make any nationality you would yeah, like.
When I was trying to adjust the skin tone, that was as white as I could get it. How you got your guy whiter, I don't know. Your guy is pasty.
Caucasian, the little slider.
Brian, I have more color than you do, too, which is even weirder about the whole situation.
I know. It's because I don't go outside. I hate the outdoors. I like to be inside.
I don't
inside.
Hate the outdoors. I just, the sun and geeks don't get.
That's what I'm saying. I like to be indoors. I don't go out and fly copters and play paintball like Craig does. I sit inside. I mean, I go swim, but I put sunscreen on like a mug. Like SPF 9000.
It's not just his nose, it's his entire
no,
face.
No, I get the top of my head because I got no hair.
We need to go into business and we need to work on my next invention since the three of us will benefit. And it's actually hair gel with SPF 100 in it. So
nice. Yeah. Except for I don't use hair gel. I got no hair.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's called turtle wax.
You don't want to use butter like Kramer did in Seinfeld.
So. No, butter's the wrong side. Mm. It took a weird turn, that conversation.
Yeah, it did. So you can kind of cut the end of the sauce.
Oh,
so.
No. I'm leaving it in. I love it.
He doesn't cut anything, remember?
That's not true. I cut out really awkward pauses or Jim going
to
get a drink.
Hair, and he's not cutting his beard. So
right. Oh, that I don't. I just let it go. Let it be free.
I want to see you put some beads in that thing next week.
It's not long enough for that yet.
Yeah, a couple
but
of
when
beads.
It gets long, maybe I'll get some braids going. Like, you know, like two, like, I'll do like a Klingon thing. That'd be great.
Jack Sparrow.
Right? And I'll be like, kapla!
I like the Jack Sparrow idea. I'm all for that. That's what you need to do is, you know, for the
start
whole
wearing
you know,
mascara.
We need to put a poll on Facebook on what Brian should do to his beard.
I'm surprised Jenny actually came around. Jenny's about it now.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
I know. I'm for
she
it.
She lost
she was
her
always
sight
against it.
No, she likes it. I keep it soft. I got a nice beard oil that I use. Keeps it supple.
That's not beard oil.
It is beard oil. By a fantastic company I'll give a shout out to called The Bearded Bastard. And it's good stuff. I use the vanilla beard oil.
Wow. Did this really get real and that's a real thing?
It is.
Okay, now I'm really confused.
Not only that, but the bottle has a wood label. Like they printed it on like balsa and glued it on there.
Wow.
It's like burned, like engraved. It's
please
great.
Tell no, me you're just
I'm
using
going
the
back
oil
to like
beer.
It's man juice that you rub in your.
There
no,
you go.
No. That would that make my hair not soft. That would make it the opposite of soft. Be like, oh, I have like a something about Mary Beard.
Like, I was gonna say, you speak from like a man from experience.
Weird,
right now.
Weird, crispy spots hanging about.
Yeah, notice I don't have a beard anymore.
Well, you know,
it got so crusty, I had to shave it off.
before it fell off.
It just broke off.
This is terrible.
You got to cut this out, bro.
I'm not going to do it. I'm going to leave it in. And then I'm going to send a link to your mother.
Wow. That's fine.
Yeah, you know, my daughter did ask what this podcast was about tonight. And I said, she goes, is it somewhere where I can hear it? Yeah, I'm thinking, no. Yeah, sorry, no. This one got lost in the virtual files.
Not anymore.
Well, yeah. She asked a lot about Uncle Brian's beard.
You know.
A lot of questions I don't want to answer.
It's soft. That's all I have to say. All right, well, I think that's all we got for this week. So thanks for joining us. I'm Brian.
I'm Jim.
And I'm Craig.
Have a great week.